Radio. This is community radio. That means it is supported by listeners like you, and we really thank our underwriters, giving an extra shout out to Al Pastor Tacos, George's Food Truck, and Kilauea Paint and Feed. So today we're going to have a much more heavy call-in show, and I want to thank our listeners from all around the islands. And Sharon over on Hawaii Island, you listen regularly. We have supporters for this show from all over the place, and they mean an awful lot. So, aloha, Sharon. So, Mickey, let me make sure that you are mic'd up okay.
Am I on?
You are on.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. And I've got Marshall in here.
Aloha, Felicia.
And Eric is in here.
Aloha.
Aloha. So, we're going to be over a lot of different topics today, and as many of these show topics tend to be, it will be a lot about social justice. This is Kauai Soapbox. It is a show designed to help people with a concern in the community to have a public voice. And so many times we have people in the studio, other times people call in at 826-7771. Or when they are off-island, our toll-free number is 866-275-1112. And Kauai Community Radio, we are a voice of the people. We aren't even public radio, which is government-funded. We get a little bit of funding from the feds to help with our emergency broadcast system. But mostly it comes from either our underwriters or our people out there. And Mickey is involved with the Community Advisory Board. Mickey, can you tell us for a moment what that is?
The Community Advisory Board. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
I'm not hearing myself.
Okay.
The
Community Advisory Board.
The Community Advisory Board is part of our support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which we are still receiving support from the public, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
About a third of our
funds.
We
did get some of our funding cut.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure exactly why Dean was saying today, but still, we receive a lot of support, and we're in good company. And because of that, the foundation is required to have a community advisory board to monitor and take feedback and suggestions from the community as to our mission of reaching the educational needs of the community, providing a service for the community, what kind of programming we're doing, whether it's relevant to all sectors of the community, if we're representing underrepresented voices, any policy issues. We also serve as a conduit for people wanting to learn more about the foundation and KKCR, either becoming volunteers or underwriters or engineers, programmers, fundraising, grant writing, and we're a little bit in the background, and we're a little bit different from a lot of the what goes on the air, what we hear on the air, but we're a vital part of our foundation, and we welcome everybody's participation. And part of the reason why I'm here is to announce that we're having a community advisory board meeting tomorrow night in Kapa'a at the All Saints meeting room at 6:00. It's open to the public. I want to invite anybody to come. Give us your feelings about how the radio station is doing. Any ideas for improvements?
What about if people want to have a show? If they see a hole in the storyline that's on here, would that be a good place for them to come in?
You mean if they want to do a show, if they have an idea for a show, and they want to talk about, well, we can explain to them how to go through the process, or if they want to get somebody else's take on their idea for the show, whether they feel they want to know if it would fit in. Where they think it would be in addition to our programming mix now.
Is it a warm environment where they can come in and just say, hey, I feel this way or that way, or I would love to hear from this part of the community.
Well, that's
or
what
my
we're
community.
Encouraging. That's
so,
what we're
so
encouraging.
So people could know if they came. And so where would they come and at what time tomorrow?
It's at the Kapa All Saints Gym, the meeting room.
That big red building on
well,
the mountainside.
That's where, that's where it is. The meeting room is right next to the big red building.
Okay.
And it's at 6 o'clock and open to the public. And we have some new community advisory board members. And we have some new Kekahu Foundation board members. And,
okay,
and the foundation will be represented there. And we take public testimony, public comments, and feedback. And we have discussions about where we think we might want to go, what kind of potential we may have for programming in the future, and how to round out, how to better educate, better reach our island community. And seeing as our main, one of our main purposes, our main purpose of our mission is to educate, to inform and educate. And that is going to be a topic of discussion
okay,
at
well,
this meeting.
Well, that's great. And I wanted to just start for a moment by acknowledging how people can get involved. We're going to be having our fund drive coming up, too.
Membership
drive.
It's a membership pledge drive.
A membership pledge
we
drive.
We collect funds. We ask for support. By funding, or by volunteering, or by, and there's many different ways. But we're encouraging people to become members. And then we generate funds from the membership. We generate funds from all our activities. But really, the honor is to become a member. And that what we're doing and what we're providing the community is worth becoming a member for.
Well, I am kind of excited to be bringing that into the story today because I want to acknowledge the challenges that come in putting these shows on. You know, there's so much heart and soul and great work that comes in. We just followed up from the Homegrown Garden Island Bluegrass show, and that is a wonderful feeling to come in after them. You know, 5, 6, 7 people in here playing music, playing from the heart, talking about different ideas. But that's a very upbeat, creative show. We have a number of shows that help people promote their own musical talent, to share that out with people. We've got hours and hours and hours, particularly of Hawaiian music, stuff that has originated in this state. And so we have a lot of different programs, health, pets, children, a lot of different elements. And in this particular show, and somewhat out of the box and with our public affairs programming, we're not quite news. What we are is an opportunity for people to express their voices. And there's a lot of concerns and considerations. And I know today, but I want to really honor the activists. There's activists around the state that put out a lot of effort to help keep our government representing the people, and we appreciate what the government does do very well. We'll talk about a few things of those. But also what does happen is it's like a ball rolling downhill, and money is what drives that ball rolling down the hill. And so the professionals that assist the government making their choices and the plans and how they create projects, opportunities, very often everybody who's doing that is paid to be doing that. So they're paid to represent an interest. And in all the islands, there are people who are working very, very hard to be a speed bump from when there is essentially a taking. And that is happening on a regular basis to the point where it is heart-wrenching, and something that I have been seeing and hearing, and today, this week, has been a heavy week for me of talking to people who have really put themselves on the line, and it's stressful. Sometimes I'll see it being said, like, that these people almost do it for recreation. It's not, you know, not something you do for recreation, to be running off to Oahu or being repeatedly showing up at meeting after meeting trying to be a voice for the citizen and social justice. And so I'm giving love out to the people who could not be here today that were planning to be here, or people calling in, or people coming in. Many people hospitalized, sick, ill, stress-related illnesses from working hard on a lot of the different issues. And I also have, and we're just going to do a smattering of things in this show, and I'm very much welcoming callers in on this. we're going to review a number of pieces that people are concerned about. And something that I see in this position, a lot of our show gets worked on the internet beforehand in different social media elements. People do their blogs. People do all kinds of things where they hold an anonymous position. Or I will get lots of calls saying to bring these topics up and out. And it is difficult sometimes to be bringing the stories forward without that first person here. It puts us in a challenged position of needing to research and trying to make sure that we're giving accurate information. But many people are sharing their stories in the background, afraid to come forward, whether it affects their business, their jobs. It takes a lot of heat to take a position on many of these topics.
Can I give a disclaimer for myself?
Sure.
We said what we wanted to say about the Community Advisory Board, and I'll take questions about that too. But also I want to be able to speak just as a
person,
member of the station. Like, what you're talking about is a taking of the commons.
Yes.
A taking of the things that belong to all of us, like the air and the water and the aina. Okay? You know, and I commend everybody, what everybody's doing, including here at the station. I think we do really well with the resources we have available. The programmers, we have limited population here. We have limited of everything. But we do, I think we do pretty well for what we have. And, you know, one thing I'll bring up, and then I'll let you go on.
Please.
Just I wanted to say the big news of today is probably that most people have read Google. And our good neighbors, the pesticide that our good neighbors have been spraying all over everything, has been declared by the World Health Organization as a probable cancer causer. That's one step down from
unknown carcinogen.
Causation. That's one step down from causation for anybody that's a scientist. You know, these are our good neighbors.
These are our good neighbors, yes. And I will say I have people speaking here about a blood test because this is somebody who's been in the hospital recently, and there have been a few people now who have gotten this blood test that is covered by insurance. And it identifies organophosphate poisoning, chloropyrifos. I have a hard time saying that, chloropyrifos. Which is among many other pesticides in the organophosphate family. And this test is generally covered by insurance and may or may not show up for pesticide poisoning. A positive test generally requires that a person be close to pesticide use on a semi-regular basis, especially appropriate for workers in the field and for people who have symptoms. It's called the RBC, like, I don't even know what that stands for, honestly. R. Richard B. Boston C. Charlie, RBC cholinesterase inhibitor blood test. Cholinesterase inhibitor blood test. And so some people hospitalized that have shown positive for this, that have some challenges, that come up positive, clearly positive with the pesticide poisoning. And it's debilitating, the damage that has happened, and it's very hard to have a mechanism to be able to go back, you know, to get some kind of help for it. And then particularly among the migrant workers, they're not covered, you know, so there's different challenges that happen with that. So
I think we're we're really not in a position to talk too much about the details. We're not
right.
Really trained in these things, but that is what the service that KKCR offers, that
right.
We should all really appreciate, that we can bring experts in here.
Right, and so this one
and
was
broadcast
something.
What's, right, even this right here, so you pick this up now.
This is
somebody may pursue this
afraid
now.
Afraid to call in with this information.
Right.
Because there's consequence. So they're telling me that this particular test is something that worked for them. Wanting to get that out, known that the test works, you know, but that's not something that I have expertise
right,
on.
I can't even
pronounce it, right?
Well, that's why it's important for us to be vigilant about the studies that are going on and the breaking news, what it is, and from experts. I mean, we're all going to have to go through this. I mean, people say things are biased. We all have a bias, okay? But that's different than a conflict of interest.
Right. Like,
that's a big difference.
Nobody's
between a
being
bias
paid to be creating this challenge. Like, describe a conflict of interest.
Well, Monsanto is demanding a retraction from the World Health Organization now. Because they're claiming the study was biased. Okay? Now, where is that retraction coming from? The makers of the herbicide. I'd call that a pretty classic conflict of interest. Slam dunk. But, you know, what I'm saying, though, is that what we broadcast on KKCR, you know, we're trying to make a serious effort to broadcast information that has been verified, maybe repeatable, more than likely repeatable, and has been reviewed by peer-reviewed experts in their fields. And, of course, you can always say it has a bias. But then again, what doesn't? We're human beings. We all have a bias.
Well, and right now, I welcome anybody who has an opposing bias to either call in at 826-7771, or they can always call and make an appointment or ask to be on the air. My email is akamaimom@gmail.com, or my phone number is 652-4363. The station phone number is 826-7774. We really, really welcome primary source people to be speaking on these issues, because it helps us to get to the truth. But this show, Kauai Soapbox, the kuleana of this show is to allow voices in the general membership,
opinions,
to be able to come in and share their stories or their
we're trying to provide the information so people can make informed opinions.
Right.
Opinions serve as a very important part of everything. Ultimately, that's what we have to decide.
That's right. And so some of the things that we will be discussing today, I went to the water meeting. We had a water resource planning meeting. That's a very big issue that's coming up. Part of what we're looking at is the weather issues that are out and happening, and we'll get a little bit more detail into that, how water across the islands is less each year. So our trending is for less and less water. In the spring, this whole spring, I would like to be looking at different aspects of weather, water, and how we utilize weather and water and what it implies, because that's a very, very huge issue. I know that, like, on weather, I have many different people calling in or contacting me to be discussing certain pieces of it. I try to get them to come in. Certainly what we call anthropological impacts, that's where people have, through their agriculture practices or over-harvesting or what they do to the land or too much cities, all that kind of thing, where we have what we call climate change. That's coming in. That's a topic that we will be looking at. I was really interested to see how they were concerned about a moving shoreline. Our Senator Kim, our lead senator, our president of the Senate, she was bringing up where we were looking to have maybe almost 4 feet of shoreline get impacted in the next, you know, couple decades. And so they're having to do a lot of planning on that. So there's a lot of pieces that are part of that. At some point this spring, I'll have people come in who are really focused on the geoengineering. And Eric, I know that you have had some and so I had a caller. Yes, I want him to call in on who knows about the test. I have a doctor who's let me know that has information on that test. I would very much, if you're listening, please do call in at 826-7771 or 866-275-1112. So we have the water, the weather, We've got our DLNR, Department of Land and Natural Resources, new appointment, the new nominee, who was the second in command, the deputy that was put forward for that recently. And so for many people are pretty disheartened over it, because a big effort came out to get Carlton Ching not nominated. Thousands of people mobilized to see that we did not have a developer in that position. So
he did withdraw his nomination, though, the governor.
The governor withdrew his nomination in the very last moment, when it was really clear that he did not have enough senators to have a confirmation. And I think that was a good way to handle it. It's definitely better than to... I don't know. I mean, I would have liked to hear all the different senators and what their opinions were. That was all done behind closed doors. They could not get enough. So instead of having that dialogue in the public sphere, they just came out and said the nomination was withdrawn. So really, honestly, for me, I sat there, I watched all of the testimony, I watched all the vetting of the candidate, and so I would have really liked to have seen the positions of the senators, but I think that it's such a high-impact position, you know, it could cost people their jobs, right? They could cost them the election.
It may be more important that just that the governor responded.
That's right. So
public opinion, public feelings and pressure.
Right. So then the new...
It's supposed to be a democracy, and when the people participate, then that's what's supposed to determine the course we go.
And then the new nominee is really pretty much in the same direction. I'm going to pull up his information here.
I think having that... I think having that discussion behind closed doors is just showing that we don't live in a democracy anymore. They can tell us anything we want, but...
We live in a democracy, but they may not. They may have a contempt for democracy, but we still claim ownership. We don't just surrender. I don't surrender my power because somebody else doesn't believe in democracy.
Right. So you both have a great point, right? So what Eric is saying is,
when it comes to the big decisions, they make it behind closed doors. We can say whatever we want, and I think the only thing that's ever going to change a big decision like that is when the people actually go out into the streets, and when the working class actually rise up against the big decision that we don't believe in. That's the only way
that's one extreme or the other, but there's all the in-between stuff of just participating and influencing public opinion with the truth and inspiring people. You know, that's the process that happens. You know.
And what has been really exhausting, you know, is how much it costs to go over and try and have a chance to say your Mana'o. It costs an incredible amount from the neighbor islands.
But what was really cool, though, at this HAPA meeting was the guy was here from Maui.
Tell them what HAPA meeting was.
The HAPA meeting of Hawaii Alliance for Progressive Action following this our lawsuit and our appeal. And the guy from Maui was over, and he was talking about at the end of the day, the guy, Alika, I think his name is, that spearheaded what they call the Maui miracle. And so he was putting his kid to bed at night, and his son said to him, "So, Dad, how'd you do today?" You know? And he said, "We didn't do so good today. We had some obstacles. It was a really discouraging day. They had a bad day. You know, it was a discouraging day. They didn't get it. It was very disappointing." And what the kid said was, "That's okay, Dad. You're giving us hope." And that's really what it amounts to. By us struggling and us refusing to surrender our power, we're offering the next generation hope. And that's maybe is the most important thing of all.
And it takes a lot of friction
because really,
to get that
you guys got incredible stuff, potential, you know. And it really hurts us who are like your parents' age to hear you feel, you know, like it's like you can't do anything.
Right,
you know?
To be cynical. And
that's
a lot of us...
not what I said at all, if you think that's what I meant by saying that earlier.
Well, discouraged, just being discouraged even.
So we have a caller. Aloha, you're on the air. Aloha, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Thank you, Felicia. Yeah, the comment I'd like to make is regarding the overall mission of KKCR and, of course, our state. Now, it seems to me the overriding context or principle or guidance that we should use is the state motto, which is, of course, the life of the land is perpetuated in righteousness. Now, because the Alihi were influenced by the missionary, and the word righteousness from the Hebrew language had two meanings. One was one's relationship with one's fellow man, and then number two, one's relationship with the divine or the gods. So the whole thing is, whether we're talking about state government or our situation here on Kauai or perhaps the mission of KKCR, it seems to me this should be our overriding touchstone.
Have you looked at our mission? Have you looked at our mission statement from the website?
Not recently.
Well, you might want to check it out. It's always been the same. But we don't have the exact same mission as the state. And we all kind of decided what the mission was.
So why don't you tell us the mission?
The mission is to inform and educate, inspire and educate our listening public and to represent the underrepresented.
Well, I still think the state motto is a pretty good principle.
Well, yeah, of course, but I'm just saying that's not KKCR's exact mission, though. It's a little
trying to speak for KKCR.
Oh, I thought I heard you say that it was KKCR's mission.
No, I'm saying perhaps it should be, you know, a reference in KKCR's mission statement to reference the state motto. Because it seems to me, I've been in the state for 30 years on Kauai, and each year, in my humble opinion, it gets worse and worse. Whether it's looking, I used to watch, for example, the Planning Commission, and I could not watch it any longer because I grew up in California, and when I was born, there was 3 million, now there's 40 million, and then I saw what happened when the people didn't really control the zoning, and so they permitted the paving over of California, and the same thing has happened to Kauai. Now, in reference to the young people, I mean, no offense to those who have a lot of money, but, you know, I just see that, you know, the young people whose parents grew up here, you know, when I see all these rich Howley folks or whoever come to Kauai and they can spend whatever for land, and of course all these lovely .com billionaires who are like, you know, trying to like pollute Mahalapu and then buying like Mr. Zuckerberg of Facebook. All these people I think they're not good people. I think they're evil people. I think they're controlling people. And I don't think they have the interest of Kauai at heart. So basically, when the local folk are, you know, and I have no, you know, I'm for fairness to everybody, but basically, when the local folk, whether it was in California or in Kauai, when they're priced out of their own home, this is not a good thing.
So can I intercept here a little bit, though? I agree, and certainly not all of one ethnic class is rich. And so sometimes that is, you know, it's a piece that I don't want to perpetuate. You know, many people are born here for generations that might be white, you know, so it's not all rich.
I'm just saying that it's in my estimation that recently in the last 10 or 15 years, Pauaniki, we've had quite an influx of whoever, whatever their ethnic or racial background. I just hate to see someone who gets priced out of their own home. And
well, if I can interject too for a second, that's happening all over the world. We've got a systemic kind of issue going on here, and one possible solution is to educate people and inform them so that they're motivated to participate. And this system we got works pretty good when people participate, you know, especially when they're informed.
And when there's a lot of us, it really
and that's
matters.
What we're trying. That's what, in a way, that's what, you know, it's the most radical idea of all. But it's the most common and the most ancient idea of all, too. You know, so that's what, I mean, I can understand. There's a lot of, you know, the dark side happening, what you're talking about. But, you know, for me, I choose to be involved in, you know, malaming the Aina and being involved with people who are being part of the solution. Even though we got a big job, you know, and you're right, we got people that are, you know, what you would call sociopathic. But still, you got to have your choice.
So thank you, caller.
Thank you, Felicia, and thanks for the show.
Aloha.
Okay, aloha.
Aloha.
Thank you for holding. You're on the air, and you are listening to KKCR Hanalei KEQA Kilauea. Aloha, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Felicia. This is Larry.
Hi.
I just heard you talking about the RBC cholinesterase.
Yes, thank you.
Have any questions, fire away.
What does RBC stand for?
Red blood cell.
Oh, okay. That's a pretty good one. Okay.
And acetylcholine is one of the chemical neurotransmitters. The brain and the nervous system is a sequence of connective nerve cells. And between each nerve cell, you have chemicals that can fire the electrical activity of the following nerve. And some of the chemicals will slow that conduction down, and some will increase or enhance the firing. And there's certain chemicals that create an ability to speed up your system, and some slow it down. And acetylcholine is one that's usually associated with slowing of heart rate and a function of the brain, and also intestinal function. And it's also a chemical that is at the junction between nerves and muscles, and it'll make muscles fire.
So
to make a long story short, acetylcholine is used if you can inhibit the breakdown of that chemical, which the body normally does. If you stop the breakdown of the chemical and you overload the body, that's what many of the pesticides do. The insecticides used to cause neurologic breakdown and death of the insects, they're organophosphate. So if you've been exposed to it, what it does is it blocks the breakdown of that chemical. So that blood test is just it shows that you don't have as much of the enzyme in your system to break down that chemical. So it's usually indicative of an exposure to insecticides.
So if somebody had it, if they had that exposure, this is what's called organophosphate. So this caller had told, or this, they emailed me this, but it's called chlorpyrifos?
Okay,
so what is another organophosphate? Would that be glyphosate or Roundup?
No, they're usually the ones that are used for insecticides. So malathione or DDT and the things that kill that are typically in even household pesticides, like the Raid that you spray on the flying insects, things that will kill bugs. Whereas glyphosate is for plant material.
Excuse me, Larry.
There's two issues because the World Health Organization study was confirming that glyphosate, the herbicide, the Roundup, is in fact neurotoxic and is associated with, there's a new paper, I just got an email on it today, it's going to be released and it's been accepted for publication, but that glyphosate has been shown to be a neurotoxin. But what the World Health Organization study was showing was that there's a suggestive increase in lymphomas.
And Larry, can you tell us, you didn't say, Larry, who you are?
He's a doctor.
What's your last name?
Snyder.
Larry Snyder. Okay, and you're
Snyder.
Medical.
Now you're going to get me in trouble.
Right.
Now I'll get the bartender.
I'm sorry. That was my guest. I actually, one of the things that we do here.
No, it's okay.
Really,
I've been on the show with you, and I'm not afraid of it, but the companies don't like papers or people speaking up against them, and that's okay. I think that one of the things that societally we're lacking is to have an alternative viewpoint and to have a discussion about an alternative viewpoint. And there's people that have a significant alternative viewpoint that think that the chemicals are dangerous. Well, obviously, the companies are best served if they say, oh, no, those papers are nonsense. So that's okay.
Well, I didn't mean to embarrass you or cause any problem. I just wanted to ask as a verification.
As a general rule, I don't cause people to identify that. Like, I was going to bring forward that he teaches in a medical hospital, and, you know, he's got a lot of background in this. So thank you. I have another caller holding. I'm really glad that you listened in and you called in. Do you have a final thought?
No, it's no different than, you know, a lot of the suspicions and a lot of the things that people were speaking up about in the movement, which were the criticism was always that there wasn't a lot of data. Well, now that there's known, the entities are known and people are able to study them in independent studies, that data is now coming into the public eye. So you're going to start to see a flood of papers that, where before it was it seemed to be intuitive that these chemicals would create damage, cancers, and diseases, and the companies would say, well, there's no data out there. But now that people in many institutions have the freedom to study that, there is now a rush of papers coming out, and if not every day, every week, people are publishing papers to confirm some of the concerns that people have. Those concerns are appearing to be valid, and the companies you understand it. It's not in their best interest to say that their products are dangerous or potentially cancer causing. But I think you're going to start to see that. You're going to start to see papers confirming what people believe to be true.
And I was seeing a paper, maybe, you know, it might not be in the medical journals, but by a doctor recently here talking about heart disease and where we see that it is really eating these wrong foods that creates a scarring in the vessels, and that's why that they're getting more than fats, is getting the cholesterol problem, you know, so where the heart disease, that is being upended of what we've been told for a very long time for the low-fat diet.
Well, I got an email today. There's a paper that was accepted that you're going to see it in the Surgical Neurology International Journal, that glyphosate's associated with depletion of manganese, which is a trace mineral, and the associated brain and spinal cord dysfunctions. And that paper was just accepted, and I just happened to be reading it while I was listening to the show. And there'll be a lag between the acceptance of this and when it gets out there, but that's indicative of what's happening now. A lot of the people that were criticized, you're going to see the numbers increasing. And the people that, going back to the original reason for the call, is if you believe that you've been exposed to one particular classification of pesticides, or organophosphates, which are usually the insecticides, that blood test would show a lower level of the enzyme that breaks down that neurotransmitter acetylcholine, and your system is loaded with acetylcholine, which has detrimental short-term effects, and it has with certainty detrimental long-term effects. So if you're concerned about it, you can get that test. It's not completely 100% confirmatory, but it certainly is supports the notion that there's some toxin in your that would shut down that function.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate your listening and calling in.
Okay, thanks.
Aloha.
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 Aloha. You're on the air. Thank you so much for holding.
Thank you. Great show. Wow, that was quite interesting. I called in just at the beginning of the show and hearing you guys talking about the system, and I just wanted to put in my little two cents about the system and really recognize that these GMO companies have been actively destroying that part of the island for, what is it, almost 15 years now at the minimum, and that, you know, the system, we can all see the system isn't working, and I really want to just call in and support. I know there's a lot of sovereignty groups and people interested in alternative government. I would like to think of making a bumper sticker that says, Barca is my mayor, and just, you know, that phrase, no taxation without representation. I feel that our current government represents us not at all and has only the corporate private interests in their forefront of their mind, and that it's really important that we join together as a community and create a new government and just see who we want that government to be and create it and live with that government, that we're giving our tax money to those people who are creating a healthy, sustainable island. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. Aloha.
Aloha.
So, Marshall, I want to pull you into this a little bit. I know that you have been paying attention to much of what's going on and following with many of these discussions. And
well, trying to as best I can while I'm hosting my mother, who's here visiting from New Jersey. I'm finding out a lot about the visitor experience, actually, which can be very good. It's nice to be the tourist.
Well, that's actually a nice little segue for a moment, because there's a lot of beautiful things to celebrate. And like this weekend, we had the Regeneration Seed and Plant Exchange. There was the Prince Kuhio event. There's so many good things happening all the time, you know. And it's difficult to try and be doing the positive and then trying to be giving the pushback on some of this stuff that is hard. It's a full-time job. But so you had some really good experiences.
Sure did. You know, today she wanted to pick some seashells by the seashore. So we went down to Anini Beach, and it was just magical, really, to think you could get down on your hands and knees and pick little Kahele Lani shells out of the sand. That's a really nice thing. And, yeah, you know, we've been going to Ekani Kapila Kako, and that's really an incredible community music event that happens on Monday nights for, I don't know, must be like 10 weeks. It just finished. It was the last one, but lots of great Hawaiian music and hula happening there. And
I think Nathan Kalama was one of them last night.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it was one big hula celebration last night, so people getting up and down off the stage the whole time. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we have a lot of really beautiful things that go on here. I was looking at the paper, too, and the headline today was Makeovers by the Millions, and that the House budget includes $60 million in capital projects. And so $20 million of that is for our airfield improvements at Lihue Airport. And there's road improvements and these sheltered bus stops across the island. And those are a great thing, and we need to thank our legislators for bringing that out. And it went, you know, I was looking at this, and while I was bringing it up, you know, even here I'm seeing we have $10.6 million set aside for land acquisition and improvements to the highway near the correctional KCCC, the golf course, and the golf course and the jail. So we are trying to do a lot of really good things, and when we are getting this mana, this money coming to help us, we have to look at how we balance it and where it comes from. And so we have to both value our visitors that come, and then when we're looking at like Keikoa Kaluhiva, for example, he is the new person being suggested for the Hawaii Department of Land and Natural Resources. So when we have people like that now, something that was good with him is that he has been really involved with the ocean, you know, the ports and the wharfs, and we need to be able to be bringing more money in that way. But how do we find that balance? You know, we really need to protect what we have, and I think one of the most important things is people, that we don't consume so much or don't take so much. We need less. That's a very big thing, is needing less of all these things. So it helps to stretch the money and helps to need less come in.
I think that's something we can, we pretty much have been forced to do that already.
To need less?
Well, to live on less.
To live on less, but because, I'm saying that we're driving to Lihue.
Yeah, but consider what the 10% are living on. The 10% who own 90% of the world's resources now, from the last 40 years of no contributions. The trickle-down theory that's not exactly trickled anywhere. The wealth concentration. I think we need to, you know, identify and relate to that, you know, instead of, you know, I mean, I don't want to say recycling is great, but, you know, we still got, the major issue is our wealth concentration. It's not sustainable. That's a major issue, you know. Did you notice the book that Naomi Klein just won an award for? This changes everything.
Yeah,
capitalism versus climate. Okay, we've been talking about this stuff for a while. What happens if something happens that, you know, we don't have the choice with our luxury lifestyle and everything? The 10% are going to be impacted.
Well, we have really huge pieces of that, and I was noticing that I was looking at some stuff about California, where it's one of the worst droughts that absolutely on record, and at least what's being said is that there's about a year's left of water in the reservoirs and the groundwater, that they feel like they have absolutely tapped out California. And I'm looking at Eric for a moment, because I know that as a young person, and actually not even just because somebody's a young person, but like as a young person, it's going to affect you more than anybody else, right? It's the younger generation is going to be impacted that most heavily by the ramifications of the climate differences. And I noticed today in the last 3 days just an incredible blue sky with normal puffy clouds. And
as Ron Wiley would say.
Does he say that?
Ron Wiley loves his puffy clouds.
I know a lot of people that love puffy clouds, but...
The puffy clouds, but like what we've seen, and like when we're looking at the weather impacts, there are impacts that have to do with the magnetosphere and pieces like that. We've got an El Nino effect going on, but some people see the cloud seeding, the geoengineering that is happening, like how heavily it's happening or how responsible it is, but we can watch it. And like today, yesterday, the day before was what I know is a normal sky. I don't know if you're old enough to know what a normal sky looks like. Actually, you might not be.
Well, I can tell you I have some family up in California, and they're actually having to move because of the drought being so bad. The lake that's right next to their house, where before they could ride their boat around and have a bunch of fun, I think it's about a third of the height that used to be. So they kind of miss Hawaii anyways. And so the drought in California is horrible. But then when you're out here in Hawaii, you can easily forget about the troubles of the mainland. And then one thing I remember was going to Kalae every summer. I would go there with my friends. And about 4 years back, it was getting really dry out in Kalae, other than the springs or the waterfalls you'd have to hike all the way to. But it definitely wasn't as wet as I had known it to be. And then about 2 years back, we had 40 days of straight rain. I know you guys can all remember that. And It was just raining every single day. And I was living up in my little homestead, so it was just amazing to see. This kind of feels like a repeat from what it used to be. You know, it's starting to dry up a little bit. Not that bad out here, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see some huge heavy rains out here in Hawaii. Or California is a whole other story.
Well, it's likely that we're going to have, you know, some at least hurricane warnings and more hurricane activities, because that's typical in an El Nino year. When we went to the water meeting, we went to the Hawaii Water Workshops. The official name is Water Resource Protection Plan. They're going out to all the different islands. It was a very quick meeting. I could tell that they had put a lot of effort into it. They had a slideshow that was very good. I happen to have it in front of me right now. But they went through it just at breakneck speed, so it was difficult to comprehend and then be able to really give a lot of feedback on it. What they're doing right now is they're coming out to the different islands and saying, what's important to you? What's important to you? We definitely, water diversions was a very big piece of it. The process of participating in what happens with the water, like the State Department of Land and Natural Resources, is who manages, you know, the water, the surface water for the islands. And so it's a very big issue, and that's core in the Ahupua'a system. And now we have the Ahamoku DLNR aspect, so that we have some Hawaiian-based systems of land management being incorporated into the Department of Land and Natural Resources. That's in its infancy stages. But what we're seeing, what they're sharing with us, is that, you know, of the whole Earth's surface, about 1, maybe 2% of all the water on Earth is actually fresh water. And many of us may know that, but it's really important to be reflecting on it. And then when they're showing us how the water is being, the waterfall, the rain amount, it goes down each year on each island. We're not seeing very much dips and bumps. It's kind of a continuous line going down. So I'm looking at that challenge, and we were learning about how the state and the land use and the county all have to basically integrate into their plans. And for the most part, it's a lot of work. It's very difficult. They are certainly looking at the climate change issues. And so they're looking also at the increasing water demand. The water demand is going up all the time, but, you know, the waterfall is not.
I remember several calls or several shows back, we had a caller that came in and said he was testing the water quality from the regular rivers around on the island. And he was saying for, I think, about 3 months he was drinking from water, and he cleansed it too, as much as he could with a basic cleanser. It was from up in Kapahi near Hopi Falls. So he was just drinking from a river. And then, as you were saying, 2% of the or 2% of the water here on Earth now is fresh. And I can tell you, further up that river from Hopi is Makalea.
Is that Hopi'i Falls?
Hopi.
Okay.
I've
okay.
always,
mm-hmm.
whatever you want to call
okay.
it, I've always known it to be Hopi. But
okay.
Anyways, further up that river is Makalea, and there's lots of fresh springs up there. And I remember I used to hike that all the time, and I found a fresh spring, just water just gushing straight out of the earth. And it was one of the most amazing feelings to go up to a fresh spring and just take your hands and just drink right out of the earth. But so, as I was saying, further down that river, that man was drinking from it, and he was saying he lost 70 pounds.
Are you speaking of Papa Hendricks?
I think that's
yeah,
what it was.
He
got sick.
He got sick, but he knew that there was a certain toxicity in the water, so he was experimenting
yeah,
with
he
it,
was
and he used himself
it.
As the guinea pig on it. And I did see his pictures. You know, I can't verify really what created everything, but he documented himself with every day visuals, and so you see the weight loss and then what he had to do to recover from it. So his assessment is that there's toxicity in there, and he was blaming it on what's happening up in the plains.
So I'm just making a quick point. So we can say that we're not dependent on a system, but if the water from the pipes ever shut off and we couldn't get the water from the stores, what would you do? You know, if you don't know a fresh spring to go to,
go turn the pipes back on.
Yeah, you go turn the pipes back on. Well, he did not.
We own the pipes.
He did not clean that water. He did not put it through a kit. He didn't. He drank it raw.
Oh, just straight from the river.
Yeah, because that was the essence of his.
No, we all used to do that, though. We all used to be able to drink the water from the river.
Yeah,
right.
You know,
and then that, you know, he is asserting that there has been very profound changes. So we need to be looking at the water issues, and we will be doing more shows on water and how to work on that. And then We had Ukupuna, who came to the water management meeting, and you know, he was sharing because he's a pipe layer, and so he was one of those who both was drilling the wells and knowing where the water comes from and knowing when the wells were drilled, when the strings dried up, right? Because if you hit the layer where the water is, so sometimes when people are saying it's being diverted, it might be being diverted by a well.
Taking surface water.
You don't see where the surface water is being taken away, but as we drill more wells, and so many of us are drilling wells, and so this is not yet a conservation district, but if it becomes that, then that's what happens. And there's areas in Maui and Oahu that is a conservation district, and you know, it really just takes a request from people to make it be that way. And we are coming to the top of the hour, so we're going to listen to our underwriters and people who help us create the show. But that is part of what my larger discussion is when we ask for this supervision, you know, sometimes you get more than you had hoped for, you know, so it's really important that we all self-govern and take care of what we're meant to be in our own kuleana and not take more than we need. So this is Kauai Soapbox on KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. Mickey Sussman is in the studio with me. So is Eric Cannon and Marshall Paul. So Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Bali High Realty, The Copper Man, and Kaz's Welding.
KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K224CQ, Moloa'a, K284AL, Haleiwa.
Coldwell Banker, Bali High Realty, and Hanalei, serving Kauai since 1978, providing personalized real estate sales and rental services. Coldwell Banker, Bali High Realty, also supports KKCR and the Kauai Independent Food Bank. More information at balihigh.com or by calling 826-7244.
The Copper Man. Copper, stainless steel, and galvanized aluminum. We specialize in ornamental and custom work and fabricate and install any kind sheet metal work, residential and commercial. Serving Kauai for over 30 years. We're still talking. HarryConti.com. That's HarryConti.com. Or 639-3456.
Kaz's Welding, island-wide mobile welding service. Home and commercial fabrication, auto and truck repairs, whatever needs welding. You can call Kaz at 346-9805 for more information or to hire his mobile welding services. Kaz's Welding proudly supports KKCR.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. And you can go on our website at www.kkcr.org, and there's a lot that you can learn about us. When different events are happening, when different shows are on the schedule. You can hear a lot of archived information that's there. Most all of these shows will be up and on it. Our public affairs shows will be up and on it. And we actually give a buzz out to these people who have supported us. You can always donate, too, because we are having a membership drive coming up in the next month, and we will be trying to reach out, but it can always happen in the background, and it is much, much, much appreciated.
And can I thank everybody for the staff and everybody here who's been tending to our website, Laura in particular.
Mm-hmm.
We've just went through a lot of meetings for our programming committee, and our strategic plan is starting, and a lot of it's on the website and our mission statement, and everything's up there, and it's really, we've got quite a learning experience just from our website now. It's quite highly developed, and I'm really proud of what everybody's put together on there, all the work that's been done. So mahalo from all the boards.
So we have an announcement regarding a workshop on safe routes to school. And it's community leaders, school officials, health and transportation professionals, law enforcement, parents, and the public at large are invited to attend an informational workshop on safe routes to school, a program that is being implemented statewide and across the country to make walking and bicycling safely to school a reality for children. So it's a free work, just a workshop, to be held at Kauai War Memorial Convention Hall on Tuesday, March 31st, from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Space is limited and lunch will be provided.
Wonderful. And I would also like to say this weekend from 2 to 4, the Wailua Kapa'a Neighborhood Association will be hosting Ray McCormick from the Department of Transportation to come in and talk about traffic. And traffic is really a very big issue. I mean, at least everything's thriving, I guess. I've noticed this week coming out of Hanalei, a couple times that I've been coming eastbound from Hanalei, the traffic is backed up to the Dolphin or even as far back as Qingyang Village. So it's a real slow process getting out of town. I have to hold some responsibility in that. Like many of us, we're really wanting our one-lane bridges. I think that we continue to be satisfied that we have one-lane bridges because it keeps Hanalei and Haena a pedestrian community. But the downside of that kind of action is that even just getting out of town is a real challenge. In Kapa'a, it seems like there's been a lot of traffic, and the west side, you know, going west from Lihue is a very big challenge. Our bridges are almost open.
So did you talk about traffic at the last county council meeting?
Yeah, there was traffic at the last county council meeting, which started in the morning. The county council happens about 8:30 or 9 o'clock. We will have the county council report today on what happens. That came up. Also, what came up was the South Shore Development Plan. And I did get feedback that people were discouraged that the water and the whole impacts of putting the dairy in wasn't even on the agenda for that. So I heard a lot of concern about that, and they felt that there was a special interest among at least one, if not more, of the council members, so that didn't come up. You know, that I am bringing forward a concern that was brought to me that very day, and then the next day, and then this morning.
I don't know. It seems like I grew up with a lot of people saying that they were proud to say that Kauai would never be a four-lane highway. You know, you'd never have a four-lane highway here. And it seems like nowadays a lot of people have kind of broken down to the idea of having a four-lane highway here in hopes that it would stop the traffic that's building up day by day. You know, it's sad.
Well,
on
the transportation plan, there's actually a space where it goes three lanes. And so this is a big, big topic and a big discussion, because when we have those arterial ways, they are federally funded. Like, if the state gets federal dollars, it has to be raised up to federal standards for doing the roads. And then the feds do most of the funding, whereas the county are the feeder roads. And the other alternative, there's several alternatives we can do to reduce traffic. One is have more feeder routes connect with each other. So then it keeps the business off of the main road. Right now we have
Like the
Kapa'a bypass, and I know something that is suggested is for the bypass to make it over to Eger King and the Wailua House lots to make it down to Foodland. There's room to do that, but that's a different funding source that comes from the county, and they have less money available to do that. We saw that we did get some state money, but that's going to be for the main highway portion, right? So that's one way. Another way is keeping people off the road so much. Like, if we have more concentration of needs provided in each community, then the cars aren't driving so much. I know that some people are saying we have too many rental cars, perhaps, that there should be a limit on that.
Do we have a caller?
Yeah, we have a caller. Aloha, you're on the air. Thank you for holding.
Hey, this is Andras, a.k.a. Mr. Mouse. Is this Felicia?
It is.
Remember, yeah, I used to come over from New Jersey and visit with Byron and Dot when, you know, you used
to
come
there. Oh, yes.
But anyway, I voted for you since I've lived here the last 15 or 18 years, and I haven't seen you in about 10.
Well,
but
I'm
anyway,
honored.
the best thing you can do, the easiest thing for Kapaa traffic, as you said, feeder roads from Foodland, that road that is actually on the maps as a road that goes back past the bypass road, and one from Safeway or cost you less to the bypass road. And that will alleviate at least 30-40% of the traffic.
So how do you address the funding on that? That's the challenge. Like, our county is out of money. It's really working hard.
Well, how about getting rid of some of the patronage jobs in every department that's here on the island? Like, you know, when I go in the mornings to Lihue a couple dates a week, and there are seven guys on two trucks putting cones down or picking cones up. You know, so every department, I mean, that's just an example, every department can cut back on that, and we'll have the money to buy through the private lands. I think Bette Midler owns part of those lands.
Yeah.
So, and she's pretty much pro, you know, Hawaii, since she was born in Oahu. I don't think it would be a big problem to get the waivers from the landowners who own that. And I don't think it's going to be a big dollar thing that they're going to ask. So it's just a matter of the county, A, and the state. Those would be county roads because they're not the highway.
But I
think that would not be a very expensive proposition.
Well, I know in Kilauea we are looking to have a new feeder road into the town, and it is a private landowner, and they have been very gracious and willing to donate the land to go cut through their land.
Right. And I think that would too.
Well, I know that those are looked at. We do have a bottleneck right at Wailua Bridge. That is
right.
A spot.
Oh, that's the big hang-up, yeah.
That's the big hang-up.
When Tony was the mayor, it was going to be cost $4 million to do this road by the bridge over the river, and this was back in the 80s, and it would have been $4 million. Now they're talking about $120 million if they're going to do that.
I know that the amount has gone up very much, and at that time the big concern was the EV and the historic areas, and we've been learning. Our KKCR team will, you know, as these stories start to unfold, you know, like as
right.
the roads were expanded and, you know, it's people where their needs are now are the same places as the needs were in the past. And there is, you know, much desecration of important history that happens. And so that's another one of those really delicate balances. And so I do recall in the 80s and then again in the 90s, the decision was to not make the bridge over Wailua
yeah.
up higher because of...
Of the desecration.
Of the desecration.
Yeah.
And so that's part of that challenge. But it's good that we're going to get covered bus stops. I think that will make it easier for people taking the bus.
But just the bypass roads, I mean the feeder roads from Safeway or Foodland to the bypass road, I'm not sure there's that many sacred burial sites there. In fact, I don't know of any, personally. I mean, and when I first moved here, as you know, years ago, I used to work on all the hay owls and cleaned up, you know, anyway.
That was sugar, so a lot of times that land has already been disturbed. And
right.
So I don't have the background to know what was there or wasn't there, but those roads, I know that is on the table for being discussed. So, again, this
I'm
Saturday...
On the radio.
This
yeah.
Saturday, 2 to 4, Kapaa.
Yeah.
At the All Saints. No, not the All Saints gym, at the library, at the Kapaa Library. It's a great
right.
place for people to come in that have important mana'o on or ideas on how they would like the roads to be managed.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, and we really appreciate you. I'm sorry you didn't get elected because you are one of the strongest voices on the island because I know how much you care about the Aina.
Well, thank
God
you.
Bless.
Thank you, Mal.
Aloha. Thank you.
All right. Aloha.
One point that I wanted to make about all the traffic here in Hawaii came to me just randomly when I was just sitting there in traffic, but if you remember or if you can think of the intersection before the airport, if you're taking a right to Hanama'alu, I find that's one of the biggest backups of traffic, that light right there. And I was thinking, if the traffic that's going straight through that intersection towards the airport, if you could build a bridge that goes over the intersection, and the people coming from Honomaalu would go underneath that bridge, the ones that are going towards Kapaa, you could completely take out the stoplight there. And I find that's one of the most annoying things, to have that constantly stopping traffic over and over.
They did northbound open a lane permanently, you know, so on the northbound traffic there, that
Yeah,
that
so there's
really...
no stopping, but that's the only lane that doesn't stop.
Right.
If you had built a small bridge for the people that are going west side or towards the airport, they would go over the intersection, and the people that are headed from Honomaalu towards Kapaa could go underneath that bridge. Then every single lane there would have no reason for stopping, maybe yielding at certain points. But
so that would be great to go to the meeting on Saturday at Kapaa Library and be able to share that.
Sadly, I'll be on Oahu at my state tournament, so
all right.
Next time.
So we have another caller at 826-7771. Aloha, you're on the air. Thank you for holding.
Yeah, I was just going to make a comment on the last caller who was talking about the Beth Midler land. Well, from what I remember about it from over 20 years ago was that she donated it so that it would never be developed for the wetland birds. And so I don't think it was ever meant to be developed or have roads. I know there's like a church thing in there, and I always kind of question that. But it was basically to leave vacant land so that birds could nest and have some open space.
I recall what you're speaking of, and I need to find out the details on that. I don't think it was the entire parcel.
I think it was 100 acres. So
100 acres, and that's a much, much larger parcel there. So I know that she was doing a lot of things that were very community-minded.
Right.
So, But that land that could go right between food land and up to the bypass, I don't know if that's her land or not, but I do know that that has been on the drawing board.
Yeah, well it would be cool if there was something that wouldn't disturb her vision. Okay, thank you.
Yes, okay. Thank
Bye.
You so much. And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. This is Kauai Soapbox. In the studio with me is Mickey Sussman, Eric Cannon, and Marshall.
Can I make another announcement?
Sure.
There's a farmer's hui that's organizing the beginnings in Anahola, and there's a Prince Kuhio Day celebration on March 28th at the Anahola Beach Park. It'll be music and food and local farm produce and crafts and community gathering. Now, everybody's welcome.
So
March 28th.
March 28th. That's a Saturday.
That's Saturday all day long.
Okay. And then it starts, I think, at 10 o'clock?
I'm
pretty
sure.
You know why?
Because
one of my favorite Kapuna uncles, Uncle Charlie Pereira, he is among them. They're going to be honoring a few of our elders, and he's on that list. There's several things going on Saturday. The young man, Michael Coker, who was accidentally ran over by the police department when he got in his accident in LALE, Kalmakani, they're having a very big service for him down there at Salt Pond this Saturday. There's also the State Central Committee for the Democratic Party. They will be in the HGA meeting room down there in Lihue, so people can be looking at that. And actually, it's a day filled with a bunch of events. Do you want to tell the listener, if they haven't been here long, who was Prince Kuhio?
Prince Kuhio was our Prince of Kauai for a long time. Did a lot of wonderful things. Very endeared to the people here.
And he passed away, I think, in the 1920s.
I'm not that familiar.
Yeah,
with,
I think so. It's a good story.
You definitely... a more modern prince. You know, we were just down at his birthplace, and it was so beautiful. And
where's his birthplace?
It's in Poipu. Yeah, a
great old stone walls and a beautiful fish pond. I assume it's a fish pond or a reflecting pool or whatever, but a lovely place for the royalty and a nice place for a picnic. I've read all about Prince Kuhio, and I can't remember much at this point. But he was a great man, I know that.
Yes, so, and we can have an Akamai listener, if anybody who has a special kuleana to honoring Prince Kuhio, please call in at 826-7774. And Marshall mentioned picnics, which is bringing me to the Kilauea Point National Wildlife Refuge, and they have their draft comprehensive conservation plan and environmental assessment. And this is an interesting element here. You know, in Kilauea, they really asked the federal government to take over the Lighthouse Point there and help to do bird conservation. And now they've got their new comprehensive conservation plan, and it's a little frightening to a lot of people. There's some pieces that are pretty good, like moving perhaps the store out of the visitor center learning area out on the point back a little bit. There's some pieces about moving the cars back a little bit. But this is the challenge that we have in funding things. The focus has been almost entirely around the visitor experience, most of which is from off-island. And so they do a lot in this plan here to block what is normal community usage, like shutting the road off that goes down to Kahili Kauri Beach from 5 o'clock at night till the next morning. And then when the lighthouse is closed, then it's just going to be closed. And that was something that was never supposed to happen. Supposedly that they are negotiable on this. The last time for the comment period is this Friday, March 27th. But there are pieces in here that's like, you know, you can't have a picnic, for example, on the grass there. Can't do things like that because that might interfere with the visitors that are coming, you know. Very often I find that we have these challenges when we take away from the public to protect the animals better to educate the animals. I mean, educate the animals. Educate the people on how to manage the animals, because certainly the birds and the different animals are nesting in all kinds of people's yards, and they're in the parks and everywhere else, and we don't want them to be resented the way the seals are resented now. We have a caller. Aloha, you're on the air.
Aloha, Felicia. It's Carol Hart calling.
Hey, Carol.
How's it?
Good.
You guys were mentioning all the events this weekend, and I didn't hear you mention the Hanapepe Art and Orchid Festival.
Oh, tell us about it.
Oh, it's amazing. It's in Hanapepe Town every year. Starts at 11. I think it goes till 4:30. Our apprentices and graduates from Aloha Lomi are going to be there doing massage for donation, and Makana will be playing at 3 o'clock, and just a lovely community event in Hanapepe, the most beautiful orchids you'll ever see.
Is this Friday, this coming Friday, March 27th?
Friday and Saturday.
And so what time does it start?
Friday, I think it starts at 4, and then Saturday it starts at 11, and they have displays of orchids at the United Church of Christ on the highway across from the fire station. And then all the vendors and businesses in Hanapepe have special things going on. There's music, taiko drumming. It's a great event.
So this is somewhat like the Friday Art Night, but on steroids, right? Doing a whole lot more aspects of it. Is that correct? Is it in the same area along the road off the highway? And it would be mostly centered in that area. And then so it would not only be Friday night, it will be Saturday as well?
Saturday all day, Friday night. They judge the orchids on Friday, I believe. They, you know, give them prizes, and you can buy orchids in Hanapepe Town, I believe, orchid plants. So it's really a beautiful event and great West Side community. Aloha.
So I have another question for you. since we're speaking about the West Side community, I heard that at the Poli Holly meeting that was the other night, did you go to that?
I did not.
I heard that they had a really good turnout and that there was good participation and that the overall consensus was to not pave the road. Like, that probably maybe wasn't a complete consensus, but about two-thirds of the people said they did not want to pave the road out to Poli Holly. So did you hear about any of that?
I did not. I've been working too much, but I agree with that consensus. We pretty much out there believe it should be a dirt road. If it's paved, it's going to be overrun. It's, you know, unfortunately, it doesn't get graded often enough, but we deal with it.
So how about these fires? I know that there are fires burning near Waimea. You live in Kekaha. Have you been seeing the smoke in the air or anything like that?
I have not. I just actually read about it in the paper. I work in Lihue every day, and I don't actually. And when I'm home, I stay home.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's of concern that there were three fires. I'm wondering how that could happen because they've had three in Anahola as well, didn't they?
Yes, they had three in Anahola, and then now it looks like there's been three in Waimea. So, that is definitely an area of interest. Well, thank you so much for calling in and reporting from the West Side.
Thank you, Felicia. I love your show.
Thank you so much. We love you. Okay, aloha. So that also, I was looking at the paper here to just be adding a little bit of strength to what was going on over there. I was really sorry to see that two visitors drowned this week on the east side and the south side, and we had an older fisherman, not real old, but like in his 60s, also drowned on the east side there, kind of just south of Anahola. So we want to really encourage people to be safe and healthy and to be really water-wise, especially on these days that has medium surf. Because it can be not so scary that you don't go in the water, but
it's springtime still, and there can be flash floods.
Yeah, it's flash floods and it's swell.
And we really hate to lose people.
We really
hate.
That's
the bottom line. We really we just hate it. We just would love if nobody would ever drown again.
And if they come down to the beach, it's good to be looking at and noticing if there's the big yellow water tubes, you know, the life tubes that are down there that have been placed by individuals, and those have saved lives.
Yeah, and don't go in the water if there's not a lot of people there, and you're new to the place. Don't go in the water. Go closer to where the people are.
Yeah, that's right. We have another caller. Aloha, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Stephanie. I'm from the West Side.
Okay, great.
I'm kind of a little bit spoofing on you because I had a thought to call you about when you were talking about the lighthouse.
Okay.
And the last phrase that you said when I was dialing the number to call you was because we don't want people to hate the monk seal or resent the monk seals.
Right. We don't want people to resent the animals. And so sometimes when there feels like there's a big taking, that sometimes the animals end up taking the brunt of the anger that can occur.
I can completely appreciate that. It just struck me funny because I called in and said, I don't resent the monk seals.
Well, we've had some murders.
These are fabulous, but I think that I just jumped in my car. I listen to you guys when I'm in my car because it's always on, and I caught probably the tail end of some of your discussion about what's going on about the lighthouse, and that is of concern to me. And I might not get a chance to get up there for maybe once every year or a couple of years, but I really enjoy being able to drive right in there.
Right, and to be able to drive right into the beach. And I guess what's in there, too, is it's like not that people kiteboard around there very often, but
it's paddleboard, too.
It's restricting kiting in the ocean. And so sometimes these plans that are made, you know, for the entire United States of America, they aren't customized to the local locations, and so it's really important that people speak up. And it's kind of shocking. I was speaking with one of the Kupuna in our community who was involved heavily with the effort 5 years ago, and we had a really exhaustive community discussion about what we wanted on this, and then it went away. We didn't hear about it for 5 years, and then when they present it, well, it doesn't reflect any of what people put forward.
And this was specifically regarding what's going on down like Rock Quarry and the Lighthouse area?
Yeah, just to close off Rock Quarry and Lighthouse, and you know, there is a plan to take...
How do I get my voice heard on this specific topic? Because this is very dear to my heart. And like I said, I live on the west side now, but when I first moved to the island, I lived on the east side, and that was just a major, major important part of my life, and the access to it really just made a difference in my life.
Well, people could email comments to FW1. I don't know what FW stands for, but FW1 planning comments at, Fish and Wildlife is probably what that means. Fish and Wildlife 1, FW1 planning comments at FWS.gov.
FWS is in Sam?
Yes. fishandwildlifeservice.gov, FWS.gov. So that would be a place, and then you would want to say Kilauea Point. They give you letters, NWR, CCP, that's National Wildlife Refuge Conservation, Comprehensive Conservation Plan. But just, I think even if you put Kilauea Point Refuge Plan, that would be where it would be going. So FW1 planning comments at FWS.gov.
Is there a website on there or anything?
Yeah, if I tried to Google it, would I be able to get...
Yes,
able to get something, yeah.
And I will check that right now. If you Google Kilauea Point National Wildlife Refuge, that would be an important place to go and be looking at. And so, you know, I know they don't mean us harm, but it can feel like a land grab.
I recognize that, but how do people like us, like me, even know that perhaps there's all that going on and potential changes and plans in order, in action, culminating? How would somebody even know?
Well, it takes...
Listen to KKCR.
Yeah,
how else?
I did have them on the radio. I had the director in here, and they're nice people. I have them in here. We've been putting it out, but, you know, it takes a lot of vigilance. It's been being posted on Facebook. It's been in the paper, but I am finding if you go to www.fws.gov, so fishandwildlifeservice.gov, /refuge/ Kilauea Point.
This is the thing. Okay, I'm not on the internet all the time.
Right.
I live my life in the outdoors. I want to be outside more than inside, and I really minimize my computer exposure.
That's right.
And that's important to me. But these issues, like this one in particular, and many, many, many others that are associated with them and very similar to them, are really important to me. So how does somebody like me find a way to really get with the program, or is that another cause?
Well, it's difficult, and I appreciate that you're asking this question, and it's sort of what I started the show off with, something almost like a whine, is saying, for those of us who are vigilant on these things,
yeah,
it is a full-time, unpaid job to be paying attention.
It's a life change and a lifestyle and a way of living.
It's a life change, a lifestyle, and so I was making the comment about Kauai Soapbox. We were talking about people being a part of KKCR that... I'm actually doing an open invite for people to really take an idea of joining the public affairs team, because it is a lot for those of us who are on it to be vigilant constantly of what's going on. It affects our whole lives. It's not just the 2 hours that we're on the radio.
Right.
What you might consider, all of us, is picking our battles.
Yeah, of course.
Not trying to get everything. Picking the ones that are most important and going on those. replenishing ourselves in between.
I agree, but as a person who is taking on an awful lot of battles, I want to say mahalo, mahalo, mahalo to all those other people who actually step forward. I appreciate the people who call it to my attention, but I really appreciate the people who come forward and actually stand up, because there is a small handful of people that are really in there at these meetings, spending lots of their own money, flying over to Oahu, and right now I'm speaking all across the islands because it is an exhaustive process, and
well,
it's difficult.
It makes me think a lot of things. It makes me think that there are a lot of very soft-spoken warriors that we have among us as well, and some people just doing the right thing and living the right way and being the right way really lends to all of that in an energy format and making it happen. But where does somebody sign up to get involved in that, what you just spoke of? How, you know, what does that require? What do we need to do? I'm open to it. That's something that I'm open to doing. But I think that the people that, for people to be active in addressing issues and standing up and making efforts, I think it really does make sense for them to do it in the things that are closest to them, that they spend their time and they're involved with, that's natural to their part of life, and that will help those things evolve because it's not so demanding and taxing, yeah?
And accept your limitations, too.
Right, right.
We all have human limitations.
We all have human...
We all contribute. That's enough. We all have to do something. We can just pick anything just about and do anything really good.
And one thing that has been very helpful is on the social networking, there are groups where this information is posted and it goes out. And right now in the legislative season, there's a ton. It's a part-time job, if not a full-time job. So it is tough.
Why do I have to be connected to a computer with my head to be part of my community?
You have to be connected to the community with your head?
No, to the computer.
Well, is it, I gain weight doing it. You're right. It's a problem. I'm not joking.
Well, it's the dual-edged sword.
It's tough.
But it has its advantages. It has incredible advantages.
I understand that, but right now I don't even have one. I'm working towards that, but it doesn't exist today.
Well, thank you for caring. And, you know, like right now you listen to KKCR. When you see signs up that are in different places, even joining your local neighborhood community association, that tends to be groups that bring it out.
And try to remember, every little thing that you do is important.
Well, when I was growing up and I was a reckless teenager, my slogan was, be responsible about your irresponsibility.
I love that. Be responsible about your irresponsibility. I love that. And thank you for being, a caring non-teenager.
And thank you for being part of the solution.
Yeah.
I did go ahead and Google Kilauea Point just to see if it was easy to get to their website. And it is. It comes right up at the top, the Fish and Wildlife Service.
And you said the deadline for...
It's Friday. So to just, even if you just put a little statement in there that says, I want the beach kept open, or I'm really worried about the birds and I would like to see, you know, everything closed off as much as possible, or, you know, it'll give you guidance of what to share.
Well, I will absolutely do that, and I'm going to be borrowing a computer between now and Friday, probably tonight, to do my taxes.
Okay, and the local library has computers as well.
Right, but the time is limited there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thank you for caring.
Yeah, and I always seem to tune into you, and I really appreciate everything that you do and all of the stuff that just comes through the airwaves from you. I seem to always run into your show, so I appreciate it a lot.
Well,
aloha.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Aloha.
Aloha.
And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. Thank you so much for holding. Are you there?
Felicia, this is Lynn.
Hi, Lynn.
Hi. I'm trying to take you off speak.
Now we go.
I talked to your phone answerer, and he's decided I should go on because I don't have access to the websites for the information right now.
Okay.
But we're into the federal cycle to the point now where we should start expecting to see all the management plans, all of the environmental impact statements, et cetera, and indeed they are coming. So the first one that is out is the Hawaiian, the green sea turtle, and they've decided not to delist it, and this will be open for comment for 1 year. I did have a short conversation with our state aquatic biologist about it, Don Heacock, and he mentioned that in the section on Kauai, they list two, he mentioned, now I'm not positive about the numbers, two sea turtle nests, and he has documented over 90. So he's calling into question, you know, some of the basis. But what it is for sea turtles around the world.
Mm.
So they've segmented it. So this is a 500-page document, people. Then there's also the management plan for the humpback whale sanctuary. And that is now coming out at their EIS, and you know, the management plan and the associated EIS. And it does call for extremely expanded capability. Well, I call it extremely. Others wouldn't. But it does call for expanded management. And you know me, I'm not for federalization of state waters, because I think our motto, as you pointed out with the Kilauea Lighthouse thing, a lot of the things that apply to the mainland and other places need so many exemptions here that we end up, you know, we get qualified and then we have to exempt one thing after another. So maybe it's better off for us to try and get our own state to take responsibility for the INA. So that kind of is a theme for your show today, because of BLNR appointments and things like that. So it pays, as Mickey says, pay attention to everything.
Pay attention to everything, yes.
Yeah, even if you can't go into depth on all of it, watch it, because things are connected. And also this year, the monk seal plan will be coming out again. So, and I do believe, and I'm not positive, but I believe the Northwest Hawaiian Islands National Monument also is due to revise their management plan.
Okay, and so, we'll be having to, you should come in with me and do a show on that. Can you do that?
Yeah, I need to get all my paperwork together. The other thing that's happening is Western Pacific Fisheries Council has, have been meeting, and one of the big topics was about longliners and changing the size limit on big eye and ahi salmon, so that from Alaska, tuna,
yeah,
to make minimum size larger, because it has to do with breeding capability. And I was at the meeting with the fishers on that, and they did not seem to have a problem with the change in the regulation.
Okay.
So,
thank you for sharing all that.
Kind of thing. Yeah, so I'm a vigil auntie.
Okay, and then
when you're bringing the vigil auntie,
I love that.
And that's a good one.
It's a good one. And when we are talking about the waters, this is very much a part of the Department of Land and Natural Resources. So again, this gubernatorial nominee to head the DLNR is Keikoa Kaluhiva, and that is what's called a GM515. GM515 is what people would look at capital.hawaii.gov if they had commentary on Keikoa Kaluhiva.
Yeah, the other thing to pay attention to in DLNR is the Division of Aquatic Resources, because at the end of the session last year, it was staffed by Fraser McGillivray, and he was asked to sign a bill by Director Isla about aquarium fishing, establishing basically no limits. And he had conflict with that. And so he resigned his position. And Bill Isla signed that bill twice as the head of DLNR and then as acting head of the Division of Aquatic Resources. And I think I'm within my bounds to say that William Isla and his wife both hold aquarium fisher license. So I think he should have recused himself from that one. So the Division of Aquatic Resources is extremely important position as well.
Yes. So thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks, Felicia. Aloha.
Aloha. Aloha. Thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Hi, Felicia.
Hi.
So Jonah Kalaniani-Oli Piikoi, what's his full name. So you have Kuyu Highway.
Oh, thank you.
You have Kalanioniole Highway on Oahu, and you have Piikoi Street on Oahu. He was the first Hawaiian to serve in Congress and was the author of the Hawaiian Homestead Act. So everyone that has Hawaiian homelands owes him a debt of gratitude.
Okay, I have a question.
Yes.
Was he King Kalakaua's child?
He was related. He was actually Hanai to that family.
Okay.
So, but, you know, the reason I called is, you know, your point on the Kilauea lighthouse situation is well taken, you know, regarding the federal government. And some of the collateral damage might be the proposed ag park in Kilauea. Because when the environmental impact study was done, one of the main points was that it would impact wildlife in the area. So if the expansion of the refuge takes place, the closer they get to that, to those 75 acres, I think the less chance we're going to see of that actually happening.
Well, I know that there was a piece of that land that might be impacted and taken, actually. So, or I shouldn't say I know that. My understanding when I read the study. So, my understanding when I read the study is that's part of it. Like in the study, there is, you know, a number of parcels that they want to add to it, like a pretty significant amount of acreage, like 97 acreage looks like could be expanded and so. There's varying levels that could be added to it, and so that you know is it feels like a taking. It's not a real crowded area. It when we have lost beach after beach to high-end housing and people just block off access to the waterfalls. We have a profound challenge with being blocked from the beach, blocked from the mountains, and so it's tough when the federal government comes in and adds to that. And these birds are in people's yards. I know in Princeville, one of my friends, she's got 6 nesting albatross in her yard, and every year she has them. So they can coexist with people. That might seem like an extreme, but those birds have a choice, and they go there. And each year she has more birds nesting in her yard. So I think it is a good choice to be educating our kids, but what they've cut back on all this money is the part that actually addresses our local community. And I feel uncomfortable with that. I feel like we are the stewards of these animals, and we need to be a part of it. And so I'd rather see us spend the money on educating our residents and people than necessarily expanding the land.
I agree. And, you know, several years ago, there was a move by the federal government to have the Napali area, including Koke, declared a national park. And that didn't go over very well at all. And I think we need to be very careful not to cede our state sovereignty to the federal government.
Yes, so.
Anyway, thank you for your show, and ahoy-ho.
Okay, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge. I appreciate it. Aloha, you are on the air. Thank you for holding.
Felicia?
Yes.
Taki-san.
Hey, Taki-san, how are you? Hey, I saw you on TV, and you actually went to the DLNR nomination.
Anyway, listen, I just want to, here's my thing, okay?
Okay.
All of us in the Citizens Committee for Maui Islands, simply put it, just my description, because there's so many different entities to it, but I want to congratulate all of them. All of us, done a great job. I think we put our common cause together, and we basically had Governor Inge change the nomination of Mr. Chang.
That's right. Have you looked at Keikoa Kaluhiva? Do you know much about him, the new nominee?
I haven't even looked at it, but what I wanted to do was the first thing I wanted to let the people know, the people of Hawaii, those who are involved in this committee work, and put in their 2 cents regarding the nomination that the right side won. Oh, no.
Yes, and thank you for being there. And for our Oahu listeners right now, I really, really want to thank the people on Oahu who are vigilant in being present as a show of people at the legislature, and you are one of them, and it makes such a profound difference. This islands have a team of people everywhere, and us neighbor islanders tend to be very vocal and strong, but we could not do it without our Oahu team because it is
inevitably crucial. Especially since I am meeting lots of interesting people in Oahu, caring people, and I tell you, we got a bunch of them. It's just that it's like a precious jewel. You have to uncover it.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And I want to thank you for your aloha to me and to others over there, and for the very, very beautiful things that you are doing in Kaneohe area with the fish ponds and the kalo fields and the high school. And it's empowering to know that all over our islands there are people working hard. And I know pretty much every day you get up, you do something to help the aina and the kids.
Okay, so that's my cue to say I invite anyone on Oahu and other islands. If they come to Oahu, they want to see what the Windward side is doing, come on down. I'll be your personal guide.
So how do they get a hold of you?
Email.
Okay. Do you want to give your email address?
Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, that's T-T-O-M-A, T-T-O-M-A, 57766 at AOL.com.
Okay, T like Thomas, T like Thomas, O-M like Mary A, 57766 at AOL.com. And for people who know me, I have it. So, Taki-san, thank you so much.
And as I said again, we have an awakening in Oahu. Of course, a little slow behind our islands, but I tell you what, we got a gem of a group of people that really care. And until I met you, and until I got involved in this Malama Daina movement here, I mean, you know, the last year, actually we did the last couple of months, and I thank you again for you and your stalwart supporters and leaders of Malama Daina. You showed me, you opened my eyes to the legislative process, and I got to tell you, the beautiful thing is there's some wonderful people there. That's why I'm doing this. Very caring people on the staff of the legislators, too. It's amazing. I met these people. I spent some time cultivating my connection with them, and I got to tell you, the reception was very warm, very, very, a lot of caring people are doing this, whether on the staff or not, and it's an encouragement to me. And what I also encourage is more people to get involved in this legislative process. If they don't know how, I'll show them how.
And your 51 years of work with the USDA and the United States Department of Agriculture and the Environmental Protection Agency over there in Washington, D.C., I know that you are a Oahu boy, but you went and you were at the federal level. That knowledge is something that's very, very important. And there are many people, many kupuna, who are able to really, really help and guide the choices that are being made. So I honor you and I thank you. And I'm going to give you a shout out for helping KKCR, and you contributed to our air conditioning fund, and our air conditioner is all up and running. So
awesome.
Thank you,
Felicia.
Island.
I tell you what, here's what I want to see on your show. This your valuable, your public service asset in North Kauai is really valuable, because I think we talked about, I don't think there's any other kind of communicative facility in the whole state that has this, where one is free to express one's opinion, and particularly if it's Pono. So that's kind of where I'm coming from.
Thank you. And it is KKCR. I am really proud that Kauai Community Radio has been a vanguard across the islands for getting the voice out. And I can look right on my computer and I see my friends from the different islands that are listening to KKCR.org. And Mickey, who's in the office here right now behind the mic, when we see like Hawaiian Alliance for Progressive Action.org, I'm looking on Shannon Rudolph, giving her a shout out at there's pictures of people around the state, including Walter Riddy and Mutsuko and Doug Matsunaga, all these amazing people who make such a big difference, and they go in and they film, and the Marks, Carrie and Dan Marks over on Hawaii Island and Hilo that take what's happening in the government in different places and they shine a light on it, and we can all watch live. And we had the Trans-Pacific Partnership effort over there, and we have the move to amend Article 5, which is an effort that's happening across the United States to have an amendment, a 28th Amendment, to stop the Citizens United, all the money in election politics. So thank you so much for calling in.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, brother. Thank you for all your work.
All right, thank you.
Aloha.
All right, so to the next guest coming up. Again, Felicia, I left a text, a couple of text messages, so if you can honor them and look at it and get back to me, I would appreciate it.
Will do.
Aloha. All right, thank you very much, and God bless, and keep up your great work. And again, God bless Kiki Shear and the supporters. What a place, and what a tool, and what a communication center.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bless you,
you're
too.
Welcome. Bye-bye.
And Jazz with John is coming up next, and our handsome man who does the county council report, he will be coming on just prior to his show. That's John. He puts a lot of effort in helping to get the word out for what's happening at the county level. I'm going to bring up briefly something from a blog called Kavai. It's the Journey to Sustainability tagline, whatever that means. And this is a very big issue. The headline is Fanning the Flames of Waste to Energy. And so it is talking about the ramifications of what is being suggested for waste to energy here. Right now it sounds really great. It's really easy for people to be wanting to say, all right, like, let's burn the trash. It sounds good on the surface. There's a House Bill 1515 and a Senate Bill 1047. So again, if people go to capital.hawaii.gov, House Bill 1515 and Senate Bill 1047, that would provide up to $44 million in special purpose revenue bonds. That means it's basically borrowing money for this Pelotron Q, which is a power plant that is got this patented gasification and vitrification process, which will be used to convert waste to jet fuel. And it's happening supposedly in London. It hasn't happened yet. We're looking to maybe use that here. I see that, and I haven't vetted this. I called him. He said yes. In fact, it did, but I am owning that Ross Kagawa and Mayor Carvalho went to London to speak with British Airways and Pelotron. So this blogger was, you know, questioning whether that needed to happen over there. But we're looking at this has potential to have a lot of emissions and ash. And we're not sure that that's healthy. So we need to be paying attention to that. It's really worthy of a half a show. But Pelotron Q is the company, and so there is this these couple of bills up that would basically be setting aside money for them. And interestingly, it is not just guaranteeing money in Hawaii or Kauai. It is also in the wording, it says that it's also to convert waste to jet fuel in London. So there is potential for this Indian company to hold us here accountable for money in another country. Again, that needs to be vetted deeper, but it's a pretty good credibility person who's looking at this. He's on one of the boards. So, and Mina Marita is also very concerned about this. I see Joanne Yukimura is concerned about it, so we need to look into it. I do not know enough yet to really have a strong opinion myself. But that is coming up this week, so we need to look at that. We are almost off the show. We're going to say aloha, and then we're going to hear the county council report before Jazz with John.
Aloha to everybody, and I'll remind you again, the community advisory board meeting tomorrow night at 6 o'clock in Kapa at the All Saints Gym meeting room. And the public is invited, and I'm sure we'll have some interesting discussions. And anybody that is interested in any programming suggestions or any policy considerations, please come.
Thank you.
Okay, aloha, everybody. It's been great to be here for another show. Have a nice week.
All right, this is Kauai Soapbox and Felicia yielding the floor to the Honorable John Gordon, and we're going to hear the County Council report.
Aloha, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's the County Council report for the week of March 23rd. There will be a special and a regular council meeting this week. The special meeting is at 8:30 a.m. and the regular meeting at 9:30 a.m. Both meetings will be on Wednesday in the council chambers in the historic county building. Here are some highlights from the agendas. Purpose of the special meeting is to interview Charlotte Ho'omanawanui for the Kauai Historic Preservation Review Commission, Tracy Yamashita for the Cost Control Commission, and for the Planning Commission, Kimo Kiavi and Thomas Contrades. These appointees are also under resolutions at the regular meeting. For the regular meeting, the Deputy Director of Finance transmits the 2015 Real Property Assessment List. The Housing Director transmits for consideration two resolutions relating to affordable housing and community development, and these are also under resolutions. Council Vice Chair Kagawa transmits for consideration a proposed draft bill for an ordinance relating to real property taxes. This bill is to reinstate the credit union exemption, which would exempt credit unions from paying real property taxes in excess of $300. This is proposed draft bill number 2584. Ernest Barrera, Acting Director of Finance, transmits for council information supplemental property tax revenue information pertaining to the estimated reduction in the real property tax revenues resulting from the home preservation limit and very low income tax relief measure enacted by the council. This is based on a real property assessment certification for fiscal year 2016, factored with the existing real property tax rates. Mr. Barrera also transmits for council consideration proposed increases of 0.5 cents to the motor vehicle weight tax rates to be implemented incrementally starting January 1, 2016 and ending January 1, 2017. This is proposed draft bill number 2586 and is also under bills for the first reading. Several council members also submitted a notice of possible conflict of interest. The Executive on Transportation requests council approval to spend an additional allocation from an existing annual grant from the Federal Transit Administration to the County of Kauai in the amount of $1 million for operational and capital expenses. The county engineer requests approval to receive and spend Hawaii Department of Transportation grant funding for a bus stop study and a West Side Shared Use Path Phase 1. Under committee reports, the Committee of the Whole received for the record input from the State of Hawaii DOT on the pending highway projects, including those in Kapa'a and Wailua. They're also authorizing a contract auditor for the County Auditor's Office, and this is under bills for the second reading. Bills for the first reading include proposed draft bill 2582 for an ordinance relating to the operating budget and also to the capital improvement budget and the financing thereof for the next year's fiscal program. There will be a non-public executive session. Purposes for the county attorney to brief the council regarding the Association of Apartment Owners of Kuilana versus Travelers Casualty and Surety Company of America and the County of Kauai. Also, the county attorney will brief the council regarding the status of claims against the county and finally provide a briefing regarding the claim filed against the county by Daryl D. Perry, Chief of Police. For more information, visit the county's website at www.kauai.gov. Until next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Aloha.
And another great soapbox show. And stay tuned for Jazz with John coming up next on KKCR Honolulu, KAQA, Kilauea, Kauai's community radio station. Jazz with John is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Kauai Coffee Company, the Dolphin Restaurant, Kamoa Ukulele, and Tiki Aniki.
Kauai Coffee, 100% pure Hawaiian, single-origin, GMO-free coffee. Grown and roasted here on the Garden Island at retail locations island-wide, on all the Hawaiian Islands, and at our estate on Highway 540 between Kalaheo and Ali'ali, where walking tours and coffee tasting are also available. More information and ordering online at kauaicoffee.com.
The Dolphin Restaurant Fish Market and Sushi Lounge in Hanalei and Poipu. Local gourmet sushi, fresh fish daily, steaks and seafood, and specialty cocktails. Dining on our lanai at the Poipu Restaurant with panoramic sunset and ocean views. The Dolphin Restaurant Fish Market and Sushi Lounge. Information online at thedolphinkauai.com.
Kamoa Ukulele Company, dedicated to building high-quality bell-tone instruments, built with a one-player-at-a-time philosophy, from student models up to custom masterpieces. Kamoa Ukulele Company, a family-owned business, supports KKCR. 652-9999 or online at kamoaukulelecompany.com.
Tiki Iniki, cold beer and tropical comfort food in a wild setting. In the Princeville Center, for lunch, dinner, and late night dining, Tiki Iniki, 431-4242.
And a big mahalo for supporting Jazz with John and Kauai Community Radio. And our theme, as usual, yesterday's. Got an interesting show tonight, a mix of old and new. So stand by to enjoy Jazz with John.